Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime. I'm Maggie, and today we have some special guests. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Cameron. And I'm Laurel.
And these are my friends from high school.
Yeah, that's about it.
We're Zoom calling. They're in Florida right now. How's it going over there?
Good. The weather's been surprisingly nice. No, it's not. It's been horrible.
Okay. So today in this episode, we are going to be reading Reddit No Sleep Stories. What's your guys' opinion on those?
I'm a big fan. I listen to a lot, especially from B Buster and other people on YouTube, just like while I'm doing art. Yeah. Nice. I like those funky little stories.
All right. I can't, 1 second. All right. So the stories I'm going to be reading, I haven't read yet. So if they're shitty, I'm sorry.
I'll hold it against you.
Yeah, please do. Oh my God. So the first one is called The Shopping Cart That I Watch. There's a shopping cart that belongs to the supermarket chain downtown. I don't know who bought it. Here, but it was just sitting between the recycling bins of my neighbors in the pull of the flickering street lamp for almost a week, alone in the darkness, shrouded in mystery. But I know it's secret.
I mean, off to a good start.
But I know it's secrets, and I know it's watching me.
Wait, okay. Off to a bad start.
Okay. I don't know how I know. I just do. There's no real explanation for this because science does not exist in the realm of unholy entities. In the past, I would never be caught dead reading the Bible, but now I hold it in my arms as I watch it from my bedroom window. I even sleep with the Bible, for it is my thread of, it's my thread of final hope.
Okay, so wait, we're talking about a shopping cart.
A shopping cart.
Okay. Is there more? Was that it?
No, I'm still going. How my neighbors are fools for calling the supermarket manager to retrieve the cart, only for it to return to the same spot by sunset. It's been 2 days now. My neighbors haven't called the supermarket manager. My neighbors haven't been watering their prized garden, leaving the blood red roses to wilt in the summer heat. My neighbors haven't left their vintage pristine house. I think they're dead. I came to that conclusion a while ago because a shopping cart's handle was dripping with paint, a red paint like the wilted roses, that has yet to dry in the afternoon sun. When it moved, the wheels squeaked from the faint blows of the humid wind. A single finger with a silver promise ring was revealed beneath it before it was flicked into the drain by one of its wheels. I know that I know, and it is threatening me. Sorry, it knows that I know and it is threatening me.
It knows I know, he knows I know, okay.
It knows that he knows that I know that it knows. I have yet to eat the cold dinner that I made 2 days ago.
The freshen meal check.
But I know that I must ration it, for leaving this house is a death wish. I must keep watch of the shopping cart. Otherwise, it will choke me with its handle and run me over with its blades for wheels. I suspect that was what happened to my neighbors. A silent, quick, painful death. It is the next day. I watched the sunrise, and it was tragically beautiful. I had survived another day, but I have grown weary of the shopping cart, and my thoughts are filled with the ideas of succumbing to death. Coffee is no longer what I need to be awake. I must sleep. My eyes are watery and bloodshot. I do not want to look in the mirror again. We've all been there. I looked
Monster
out.
Energy. And this episode is sponsored by. Maggie, this one's wild. Where'd you find this one?
It was a hot one. I went under the Reddit No Sleep Hot Ones, you know?
Oh.
Hot.
I have faith that it's going to turn out.
I looked outside one more time, and I know I can finally rest for the first time in a while because I can see police officers arriving on the porch of my neighbor's house. The shopping cart cannot make a move if there are witnesses. It will have to choose to remain where it is or kill everyone to get to me. I'm willing to take my chances. I hugged the Bible tight as I laid in my cold, hard bed, surrounding myself to the exhaustion. I'm awake once more in this nightmare called reality. My straight hair is in knots. My eye bags are enlarging and darkening. I gulped down old coffee that was sitting on the bedside table. I went back to the window with my Bible against my chest to watch the shopping cart once more. It continues to stare at my house, at me, with animosity. The police are still at my neighbor's house, vibrant yellow police tape wrapped around the building. I do not know if my neighbor's bodies are inside. They may have taken them while I was asleep. The policewoman said something into their shoulder radio and walked to the police car. She took a pale yellow folder out, and I noticed that she had a dainty engagement ring on her left hand. I thought they were meant to take it off when they were working. I guess she forgot, or maybe it doesn't matter. It is a reminder that she has a future, whilst I do not. Once again.
So dramatic. Stop.
It's just a shopping cart. Once I felt comfortable enough to leave my lookout position for a while, I took the time to look through my supplies behind me, as I had been holed up in my bedroom for a long time. I need coffee, a lot more coffee. A local family-run convenience store down the street gave me an awkward look as I bought every instant coffee they had. I bought rice and Spam as well, enough to keep me fed for at least 2 months if I rationed them properly. I was struggling with opening the front gate of my house with groceries and the Bible in my arms. A police officer strolled up to me from the right side. It wasn't the policewoman. It was their partner, a man that was two heads taller than I was. He gave me a nod and opened the gate for me. I returned his kind gesture with a nod and said, "Thank you." "May I ask you about the Cantleys?" he said. The Cantleys were a nice old couple and a 5-year winner of the Front Yard Garden Award. I know that they've been living here on Randa Street for over 4 decades. They have watched the world change while they stayed the same. The Cantleys spoke more highly of their 4 children. Each of them was a higher achiever and all attended prestigious schools. There are a few occasions when Mrs. Cantley would come around just to gloat about her eldest daughter winning battles in the high court or youngest daughter graduating university with a master's degree. However, Mr. Cantley was quite cold towards me. He always told me to get a job and stop living off welfare. For the record, I do have a job. Well, I had a job. I was a virtual assistant for a technology business. Anyways, most of the time, the Cantleys were very giving and neighborly, especially during the holiday season. The Cantleys always gave me leftovers, but not the bad leftovers like cold turkey leg. It was usually nutmeg and full pieces of gingerbread that no one took. When they had their family gatherings together in their vintage house, I ate lukewarm oatmeal with their leftovers and watched reruns of old Christmas movies. I gave him a sad smile as I reminisced and nodded slightly. "Have you seen anything or anyone suspicious around the neighborhood?" I shrugged. I wasn't going to say the shopping cart. That'd make me seem crazy. And I was not crazy. I am cautious and I am scared. The police officer sighed. "I don't mean to alarm you. Just trying to do my job and finish my shift for the day. Head home and see my family for dinner, you know?" "I haven't seen anything," I raised my eyebrow, thinking she just wanted to answer to write down in his notes. "I don't leave my house very often, officer." The police grunted before he turned around and left. I glared at the shopping cart, who I felt was smirking at me. Its shiny, sly grids that made up the cart seemed to change in shape. It was planning something, and it was telling me that it involved me somehow. It involved me dying.
Well, okay, I'm placing a bet now. Yes. This man is just in like a full paranoid psychosis, and he did the murders. You know,
I'd believe it.
Do you think the vampire is like the shopping cart's like a supernatural entity?
I think that he's gonna die by the shopping cart.
Then how did he write this no sleep story?
He's typing it as we read it.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Because it's like I'll update you if I don't die, and then there's no
updates. And then there's no updates. Yeah. Okay. I unpacked the supplies in the safety of my room while keeping a watchful eye out the window. Nothing interesting was happening. There was still the original two police officers at the scene, probably looking for clues or cleaning up the place, although I'm starting to think they are blind. They do not see the shopping cart with blood on it. Maybe I should have told the officer who spoke to me about the cart. It's too late now. Evening rolled around while I nibbled on a slice of Spam. The flickering street lamp blinked on like a spotlight on the car. I'm sorry, why did I buy Spam if they clearly have like an oven? Like,
you're in a horror thing, but you don't have to eat like the grossest food possible. Like,
yeah, like they don't need to, they could just like buy like pasta.
I don't know. See, if he's in a full psychosis like mine, like he wouldn't have paid his electricity bill. He wouldn't have.
But he's still making coffee.
Right, the coffee's so gross. Like, does coffee actually keep you awake? Like,
yes.
Okay. Laurel's bringing her personal opinion into our scientific inquiry. That's to keep him watching. He has to run for all that coffee.
Okay. The flickering street lamp blinked on like a spotlight on the cart. It was also when the officers had finally found the blood on the shopping cart. I saw them say something into their radios, and the policewoman pulled out gloves. The policeman went to their car to grab something. When the policewoman's gloved hand touched the handle of the shopping cart, the wind suddenly picked up and blew like a train passing by at the speed of light. I felt it through the walls of my bedroom as I watched the cart run the woman over. She was pinned, and the cart was a bowling ball. So she was a pin, and the cart was a bowling ball. I hid behind the Bible, only peeking to the side to see what it was doing to her. The shopping cart pinned her by the neck with its steel handle against the picket white fence with fading paint. The wheels knotted her legs like a meat grinder. Blood splattered the fence, painting it anew with different patterns. I watched the officer drown in her blood. I watched as her eyes lost life. I watched her as every bone in her body was crushed by the cart, turning her into a deflated doll. A silent, quick, painful death. I spot a spark under the street lamp's light. It was her engagement ring, but in pieces now. Apart from the diamond itself, the diamond remained intact. My attention was pulled away from the dead officer to the other. The policeman had drawn his gun to shoot, but he didn't know who or what to shoot. His hands were quivering. He had no aim, no real target. The bullet he had fired ricocheted off the cart and went flying towards my window. I screamed as I ducked as the glass shattered above me. I crawled to my door, and in a flash, my mind raced about my plans in life, my future. It was then I realized I had none. All my dreams are not. Ever since the shopping cart appeared between the neighbor's bin, the pull of a flickering street lamp, just like the policewoman who might have been married by the end of the year, love was temporary. Life is temporary. I laughed to myself and I laughed at myself, tears streaming down my face like magma from the heart of a volcano. I threw the Bible across the room. The book can't save me. No God could. It can't protect me from evil because I'm already living in hell. I'm already damned. I walked downstairs quietly and I felt my heart rate speed up. The closer I got to the street, the more I trembled. The end is near and also here for me. If life was temporary, why am I so scared of the end? Once I was on the street, the scene in front of me was disturbing. I saw a policeman who had fired the gun no longer owned legs.
He
couldn't seem to scream as he dragged whatever he had intact with his arms in an attempt to flee, leaving a trail of blood behind him. His eyes were teary, and I could barely hear him say his final words as his right arm reached out to me. I love you, Marie. There's a bunch of dots in between those. I was about to Marie. I think it's probably going to say Maria, but it's MA.RI. I don't want to make any assumptions.
Yeah.
I was about
Marty.
Marty. Marty.
Yeah. Mario.
Mario. It's Mario. He's Luigi.
Yeah.
I was about to grab him and make a run for it, but the shopping cart ran over him. I screamed in unison as the sound of his bones snapped into pieces like party poppers. The wheels screeched, grinding down on his flesh to his bare bones. Everything on his person was flung around. The pieces were on the sidewalk, in the trees, on the windshield of the family cars parked on the streets. The policeman had let go of his gun and had slid to my feet. I picked it up. My hands were shaking uncontrollably and my eyes blurred with tears. At first, I was confused. It wasn't long before I realized I was hopeless and helpless. I couldn't save him. No one could. Even if he had told me to shoot the shopping cart, I can't kill what isn't alive with bullets. And even if I told you I did point the gun at the shopping cart but didn't shoot, would you believe me? I realized the shopping cart's wheels were stuck to the policeman's corpse's bones. There was a moment of relief before it turned into panic. The grids transformed into a set of teeth as it stared into my soul. The shopping cart was grinning at me. My heart thumped like a herd of wild beasts in the grasslands. Fear snapped me out of my frozen trance. I don't want to die because of this demonic shopping cart that stalks my house. I ran frantically back inside my house and locked the door. I leaned against it as though I was a barricade. The cart crashed into my door. I jolted forward slightly, but I remained stiff and firm in the spot against the door. I heard its squeaky wheels roll away, and a wave of relief washed over me. The air in my house gradually became lighter, even though my breath was still rapid, like my heart. My hands were sweaty. My grip on the gun was weak, so I dropped it to the wooden floor. My legs gradually gave out. I slid downward and thought about my next plan of action. I didn't have one. I never had one in the first place. In the end, I decided that if it wanted me dead, I will die because I want to. My terms, not the devil's. I write this now because I'm warning you of a shopping cart or any shopping cart that may sit outside your house or across the street. It is waiting for you. It craves your blood, and it will kill others who get in its way. I promise you that you are better dying other ways than dying by its blades. And with this gun that I was graciously gifted, I can finally depart from this torment. But before I go, I want you to know that I am truly sorry. Goodbye, friends.
Well, I kind of predicted the ending. It was one of those, like, I'm writing to you now. Like,
no, you were right.
Right. That was a beautiful story of love and betrayal and drama.
And shopping carts. Lovely.
But, like, anything to choose, like, a shopping
cart. A shopping cart seems so weird.
Was every other noun taken?
Like, it could have been, like, a trash can, you know? Or, like, a bicycle. I don't know. Shopping cart?
A bicycle would have been better, even. I feel like it's been done before. I don't know.
Maybe I read a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
About a car that was parked at an abandoned gas station on the side of the road. And everyone that, like, brought their car up to it to, like, check to see if, like, the person was okay in it, like, the second they touched the car, they were just eaten by the car. It was a lot better than that one, but, like, it was basically the same premise. Like, their bones crunched as they got sucked into the car.
Crunchy.
Crunchy.
I really like, you know, campy stories like that, but have, like, some twist, you know, at the end where it's, like, you know, like, if it had actually been the guy...
Yeah. But
no, it was
this real shopping cart, not, and he warned us. Watch out.
It's a 1.5 out of 10 for me. It gets a 1. No, it gets like a, what are we doing rating-wise? Out of 10 or 5?
10.
Okay, 10, like 2 out of 10.
All right, so that's what was a bad story. All right, here's the next one. This is called Please, Please Stop. It's been a long time since this happened now. I need to get this story out before it crushes me from the inside out. I'm seriously losing my shit over this. Sorry for my foul words, but I just can't take it any longer. It was October 2015. I wouldn't say that I'm an introvert. I do, like, enjoy hanging out with people, hitting the town, hanging out at a friend's house, or finding some cool place to meet new people. But I need my time to reload, you know? Recharge my batteries.
Robot.
So that was my plan.
Calling it.
So that was my plan. A weekend to rest. That was all. I looked up some Airbnbs, not too far away, just an hour or two away, just to get out of the city. After some browsing, a few reviews, I found my perfect spot. A nice little cottage. In the woods, of course. I wanted to be alone after all. It had 4.3 stars. Not shabby, almost perfect. I could easily have brought some other people. The house looked big enough and even had two bedrooms, but I needed this. Some space, some peace, some quiet. Or at least that's what I had in mind when I looked up the place. It actually said when I booked the place. I just misread the whole sentence. It was about an hour and 15-minute drive. It was 59 minutes on Google Maps. I printed it out. It always lies. Okay. Or maybe I just got lost. That's irrelevant. Sorry. Back to the story. I had packed some comfy clothes, bought groceries at my local store before I left, just enough to pass by a Friday-Monday trip. I even bought a book with me. No computer, no phone, aka no work, no phone calls, just me and my thoughts. And the book, of course. I would enjoy my stay, cook some nice food, and just relax. Once again, this was the plan. Friday night came around. I had opened a bag of chips and a cold one that I had brought with me. She opened a cold one. This is probably a guy, too, now that I think of it. It's not relevant. The sun wasn't going down quite yet, about a half an hour before it could go down the horizon. I took my book and I lied down on the sofa of the cottage living room. I made sure to read the last page of the book first. Yes, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, this is a man.
Blame me, judge me, I won't apologize for who I am. That's what he says. That's when I heard it at first. Please, please stop. I turned around. It sounded like it came from behind me. No one to be seen. I brushed it off. I hadn't heard a sound since I got there. Must have been my imagination.
Hallucinating voices? He has other things to worry about.
25 pages into the book, I heard it again. Please. Please stop. Since I had just heard it twice, I couldn't determine the gender of the voice, neither the age. It was time to look around. It was loud enough to come from inside the house. With quiet steps, I checked every room, closet, you name it. No one was there, just me, and my thoughts. By 10:30 p.m., I heard it once more. Please, please stop. It was a woman's voice. No, a young boy's. Even though I was lying in bed this time, it still sounded like it came from behind me. How was that possible? There was a brick wall. On the couch, it came from behind me, but the other direction of the house. I got my slippers on and took a quick roam around the cottage. Nothing. Nada. Neat. When I was about to open the door, I heard it again. Please. Please stop. It was still coming from behind me, even the outside of the house. It came from behind me. Whatever. I spun around as quickly as possible. And you guessed it, nothing there. No one. No trace of who could have said those three words three times now. I went to bed. I think it's four times now, actually. It's not relevant. I went to bed. Despite the things going on, I was able to fall asleep fast. Tired from my long week of working, I woke up around 10 a.m., happy to have gotten a good night's sleep. This would for sure help me recharge, I thought. Boy, was I wrong. When I made breakfast, I heard it again. Please, please stop. Still coming from behind me. This was just not possible. Had I gone crazy? I regretted not bringing a speaker to drown it out with loud music if it would come again. I said out loud to myself, you finally have a weekend for yourself. Don't get worked up about this. You just have around 30 hours left in this place. Make the best of it. I don't know. Like, you're hearing a very clear voice behind you and you're like, God, wish I could drown it out with really music.
Like, this isn't like a, you know, a talking Elmo in the wall, okay? This is like something else.
Talking Elmo in the wall?
Yeah, you know, like the tickle me Elmo thing.
Yeah, this isn't like a shopping cart outside your house. This is something different. Okay, by 3:30 p.m., I heard it again when I sat on the couch. Please, please stop. It was a young boy, for sure. I knew that now. Once again, it sounded like it came from behind me. This time, much closer than before. I felt my heart race faster. I thought it was over when I hadn't heard the voice by 10 p.m. Boy, was I wrong. It came again when I was brushing my teeth. Please, please stop. It came from behind me, from the right behind me this time. Almost like I could have felt the boy's breath on the back of my neck. That's not what it, sorry, I can't read. Almost like I could have felt the boy's breath on my back as he said the words. But I had my eyes locked on the mirror. No one was there. It came 10 minutes later. Please, please stop. It was much louder this time, much closer. 5 minutes later. Please, please stop. Louder. 2 minutes after that. Please, please stop. Even louder. 30 seconds later. Please, please stop. By this time, it was loud for real, still from behind me. Please, please stop. 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 Please, please stop.
One of those English assignments where one word is like emphasized.
It dramatically went from like uncapitalized to capitalized as I said this. Yeah. I ran to my car. He still yelled from behind me. I managed to get all my things so quickly, or did I? I honestly can't remember anymore because it was just so loud behind me. The boy's voice was the same as all the other times, just louder. The voice gradually got more quiet until it disappeared as I drove away that night. It was just Saturday, but as you could imagine, I could not stay for another minute. The first thing I did when I got home was go back on my computer and go to the cottage's Airbnb advertisement. No comments mentioning a boy voice, not even one. I decided to comment it myself just to get some answers. I never got one. The morning after I had posted my comment, the advertisement of the place was gone. I Googled and Googled to find an answer. Who was this boy? Had anyone else heard about him? What happened to him? No answers. I never went back to the cottage, scared that those screams would never leave me the next time I drove away. I never got any answers, but I can't help to feel bad for this boy. Whoever he was, whatever happened to him, I feel so, so sorry for what he must have went through to say those words over and over again with such emotion. I haven't told a soul about this. Well, that is until now. You must think I'm batshit crazy reading this. That is exactly why I haven't told anyone, but I just can't do it anymore. I would give you the address to go check it out for yourself, but it is too risky. No one should experience his screams. No one should experience the nightmares I have been having since that night. I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. Might go on another weekend trip soon to calm myself down again. Things have been so worked up lately. Give me some tips in the comments, but please, please no haunted cottages. I've had enough of that. Okay?
Wow. Another beautiful story.
The only comment is, I'm not sure if this is viable, but a friend of mine is a PI in Florida, and he had 2 or 3 odd things happen to him. Maybe you want to reach out to him. So.
Ooh.
Haunted places in Florida.
Road trip.
Road trip.
Might you come down and we can do like a live urbex of haunted places. The next season of your podcast will be you in places that you shouldn't be.
Any places I shouldn't be. Yeah. The men's restroom. Just standing in there. All right. Should we do another one?
Yeah.
All right. Let me find another one.
Yeah. I'd rank that one 3 out of 10. I mean, it got to the point, you know? I say 1 out of 10. I like the first one better.
You rated it the same as the first one. Okay. So this one is called People Wash Up on the Shore of My Island Community. It's my duty to kill them before they wake up. Just kidding. We're not doing that one because it's a series. And I don't have time for a series.
That's me on the beach patrol, though.
It's me when I go to the grocery store and I don't see people with masks on.
I don't know, but at this point, it's like, where do I even buy a mask? My college won't let me come and get my art stuff, but I don't have a mask and glove on.
It's well, like, in New York, it's illegal to not wear a mask in public places.
Do bandanas count?
Yeah.
Like, that close enough?
Oh, okay. Because it's just buy a mask. I'm going to cough real quick.
You're not selling them anymore.
That the internet, fun. They're definitely.
You just coughed on me.
All right. Okay. This one's called My Experience in a Haunted Hotel Room.
Ooh.
Why does it look so dark where you are? Where are you? Is it sunny out? Oh, stop. No, I'm just facing a window. I'm in the living room. Okay. My experience in a haunted hotel room by Max Kennedy 9 hours ago. I think it goes without saying that I was not pleased when I heard our branch was being downsized. As it turns out, despite my doubts, I was transferred to the Manchester branch instead of being fired. I figured it would be a difficult transition, but I had no idea. Money was tight, so it wasn't as though I could just, immediately get an apartment in Manchester. I thought it best sleep in a hotel room for 2 weeks. Oh my God, I can't read. After some searching, I landed at the Jackson Hotel, a quaint little place. It was cheap, but appeared neatly kept on their website. Also, it was no more than 5-minute drive from my new workplace. At first, it all seemed a bit too good to be true. I pulled up to the hotel and squeezed my car in the tight parking lot, immediately adjacent to the suite, little building. The hotel was situated on a long suburban road between shoddy office buildings and shops, most of which had different, equally vomit-inducing puns for names. In particular, I remember a coy, rarely visited fish and chip shop named the Codfather. I pulled my luggage out of the boot and hauled it through the two squeaking doors around the front of the place. My nose was immediately met with a noticeably musty odor as I entered. From a scent alone, you could tell that this place didn't get too many visitors. Before me was a small lobby. Old furniture had been dotted around the walls, which were plastered with a vile cream wallpaper, strands of which were drooping down from where it met the roof. At this point, it was evident that the pictures on the website were deceiving. They must have been taken 20 or so years ago. How would you not notice they were taken 20 years ago?
Catfish.
Catfished by the hotel.
Called Nevin. What are the catfish guy's name?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know his name.
Oh. Nevin. The other guy left.
Okay. This place is old. So old, the walls are trembling under the weight of themselves. After surveying the entrance, I approached the old woman behind the front desk. She sat there She sat there brooding, absently sipping on a petite china cup filled to the top with tea, which dripped like tears down the side. A name tag read Mary, hung closely off her worn red sweater. She looked nice enough, but after trying to get my room key from her, it was clear her heart wasn't in it anymore. I don't blame her. She replied to my request with a series of grunts and hushed tones mixed in with the occasional clearing of her throat. I could take a hint. After getting my room key, I didn't bother her with any more chatter and instead made my way down the long hallway she had indicated to. The faint sight of the figure became clearer as I neared my room. An older man pushing a cart stuffed with cleaning supplies. He stopped in front of a room 18 and began scrubbing the filthy white door. I could see as I pushed my key through the rusted keyhole, he jerked his head upwards. He chuckled, still facing the door he was cleaning. I ignored him and unlocked my room. Just as I was about to step inside, he stopped his raspy chuckling and addressed me directly. "Are you sure about that, lad?" I turned. "Pardon," I said, confused, trying to seem as undisturbed as possible. 17, he chuckled, my room number. "I'm sorry, who are you?" I asked, desperate for the man to stop being so cryptic. The man stood straight and looked at me, or well, at first glance it might appear that way, but there was something off about his gaze. It almost appeared as though he was looking just past my eye line and into the open room. "Eddie," he croaked, pointing to his name tag. "Been cleaning this place for years, seen a lot of people come in and out," and he stopped abruptly and turned his gaze to the floor. A sly smirk crept across his wrinkly face. 17, he began, chuckling again as he turned and resumed his cleaning. I was thoroughly creeped out.
spooky, spooky, an old man being creepy.
17. Finally, I entered my room and pushed the door closed behind me. To my surprise, the musty smell of the hallway was gone. Instead, my nose was met with a warm, flowery scent, and it didn't appear to be as uncomfortable as the rest of the place. Up until that point, the Jackson Hotel had not given me the best first impression. So you can imagine my astonishment when my room was in such, dare I say, pleasant condition. The carpet was a fluffy, light red, which contrasted beautifully with the almost milky white walls. Pushed up against the wall was a large king bed. The black sheets had been pulled over it perfectly. Before I even unpacked, I laid on the bed over top of the quilt like a child. My head sank into the pillows, and the slight elevation the pillows gave me allowed me to see the rest of the room before me. A small carpeted gap separated a large modern television from the wooden decor of the bed, and to the right of that, beside an embellished window, facing me as I lay there, was a heavy-looking brown door. I climbed out of the bed and pulled it open by its curved metal handle. Is it a door? Is it a bathroom? Okay. Behind was a Behind was a blue-tinted bathroom, floored with white tiles and walls painted with the color of the sea, so blue. It was strangely long for a bathroom, I noted. Huge gaps were between the scarcely placed facilities. And at the end of the hallway-like room, a large bathtub rusted at the seams. A creepy, opaque shower curtain hung, scrunched up at the bottom, and hid a vague silhouette of a tap behind it. There was an uneasiness about it, and I shut the door. Work had given me a few days off to settle into the city before the merger, so I spent the rest of the day exploring the city. I wandered aimlessly down those bustling streets until the sky turned orange as the sun dipped over the rows of old houses and shops. Before it turned dark, I returned to the hotel. Once again, I passed Mary, still ruminating behind her worn desk, cup of tea in hand. Thankfully, I hadn't come across Eddie, the cleaning man, on my long trip down the hallway. The unnerving aroma he gave off was all too cliche for me. Growing weary, I found myself once again sinking into the bed of the room, 17. Laying on my side, tucked under the covers, I closed my eyes and sighed. The room was nice, but I wasn't too sure about the place in general, or the people for that matter. It doesn't matter all that much, though, I thought. I found peace in the idea that I'd be out of there soon enough if nothing else. I figured sleep was one of the few luxuries I could afford, and sure as hell wasn't going to let some creepy old hotel take that from me. And eventually I did fall asleep, I mean. It took a few tosses and turns, but eventually I nodded off, the floor of the room above me creaking and churning all the while. But just as I slipped past the thin veil of sleep above the groans and rasps of the old building, I could have sworn I heard a slow, muffled whimpering of a baby. My first day at the Jackson Hotel was admittedly uneventful, but looking back, I think that had been the most significant. There was the day my fate was sealed, the day I was chosen to be whatever lurked in that accursed room. Oh my God, the day I was chosen by whatever lurked in that accursed room. By the time I woke up the following morning, I was ready for another day of exploring the city. I threw on my shoes and outdoor clothes and exited my room into the muck and the grime of the unkempt hallway. How unkempt is this hallway? Like, there's muck and grime out there.
It's just like filth.
It's just like mud just covering the whole hallway.
Like dirty needles and roaches.
Ew. Oh my God. The hallway seemed to twist and turn the longer I stared down its vacant length. Well, it wasn't completely vacant. Behind me, I just about heard the scrubbing of stale flannels against parched wood. I turned. There he was again, Eddie the cleaning man. I was almost mesmerized by the monotony the monotony of his... This is monotony, sorry. The monotony of his technique. All he did was drag the flannel in perfect circles around the door. Peculiar, I thought. But before I could look away, he turned his head to the side to face me, giving me a knowing nod. I shot one back as to not be rude before I turned and went on my way. Once again, I walked the squalid streets of Manchester beneath a gray sky, but that day the avenues of the city felt lonelier than they had the day before. Don't be mistaken, though, there was no shortage of people, not by any means. Just as they had been the previous day, legions of miserable pedestrians marched the streets as if on their way to a funeral. That was nothing new. But what was new, however, was the air of dread that loomed over the filth-ridden roads. Damp vapors of mist and clouds had sunk to the concrete, and in the space between the wandering cities, a chilled breeze swept through, whispering. During my inane walk, I passed by a restaurant. Its windows were surprisingly well kept. They looked as though they were polished down to every grain of sand. I stared through them. A few couples sat, chewing monotonously on whatever the three-course disappointment they had been served. But otherwise, the place was empty. As I stared through the smooth glass, I began to notice my half-hunched reflection. I moved closer to it. My brows were in a perpetual frown, which I otherwise would not have realized, and my head was tilted slightly downward as if it were weighing on my neck. I squinted and peered closer, looking back into my sunken eyes, ringed in black and bloodshot. I continued to ogle, confused at my own reflection. Besides, I felt very well rested when I woke up that morning. Maybe I hadn't slept as well as I thought. I had enough of the outdoors. I turned back the way I came, and I trudged towards the hotel. Did he not shower?
I think I know where this is going.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah, definitely. You know, while he sleeps, the devil room, whatever, like, is, like, sucking his energy.
I believe it. I see you. Mesmerized by the satisfying crunch of autumn leaves underfoot, my head snapped down as I felt my foot sinking into a pile of dog shit hidden between the leaves.
I hate dogs.
I stumbled back to the old hotel a few blocks away, my shoeless right foot throbbing as I went. Wait, you took the shoe off?
Yeah. The dog poop doesn't just take your shoe. Like,
he took this shit off.
Could you imagine stepping in the room and just, like, leaving it?
You're like, I can't do it.
He's for the streets. Imagine stepping in more dog shit now that you're shoeless.
Then your foot has to go.
Then your sock, then your foot.
You have three chances. The foul stench of the shoe was now holding attack. I was now holding. He took the shoe off to hold
what?
It.
Stinky.
Attacked my nostrils while I shambled into the lobby. I pushed through the toilet doors opposite to Mary's desk where she still sat, barely looking up from her tea as I did. I wrapped a strand of toilet paper around my shoe and began scrubbing the filth-covered boot before below a running tap. Over the sound of scrubbing and trickling water, I heard the door creak open. Eddie shambled through That was not me. Eddie scrambled through the spray the cloth in hand. I looked back down and continued to scrub, but I couldn't help but notice in the rim of my peripheral his hunched frame facing me. Too scared to do that in your own room? He inquired judiciously, almost whispering in his harsh, gruff voice. Excuse me, I looked up, my shoe now completely cleaned. I slipped it on, ignoring the water that seeped into my sock. I wanted to leave as soon as I could. Sorry for my prodding, but I couldn't help but wonder why you're in here. Here's spelled wrong.
How's it spelled?
It's like you hear something.
Oh. Honestly, if someone has stepped in dog shit before, it's really hard to clean your shoe. Like, she didn't get it all off.
No, I don't think. I think this is a man, in my humble opinion, but I don't think he got it all off either. Where was I? why you're in here and not in your room is all. I looked at him puzzling. Why did you ask if I was scared? I didn't expect a clear answer from the man, but I just had to ask. He looked down as I asked him and began cleaning a stall door. Well, it's an old hotel, even older than me, he chuckled. Been a lot of guests over the years. Who knows? Perhaps some of them never left. Ba-ba-bum. I didn't say anything. Instead, I just stared at him, trying to figure out whether he was joking or not. In my silence, he turned to look at me as well. He smirked. Not the loquacious type, eh?
Okay, this guy knew a vocab word and had to just drop that in there.
God.
Loosen up, kid. I'm just pulling your leg. I figured as much. Not saying so much as goodbye, I left.
Rude.
Right? Back in my room, I slipped under the covers and turned the TV on. I could see through the window that it was only just turning dark, but for whatever reason, my eyelids felt heavy and my head felt dazed. Like when you wake up from a nap and your mouth is dry and funny tasting, and all you want to do is go back to sleep. I turned in my bed and reached for the TV remote laying on the nightstand, but as I did, over the sound of the blaring television, I heard something. It was sharp and sudden, yet I just barely heard it. I snatched the remote up and cranked the volume down to zero as I sat up in bed. I waited to see if it would happen again. Suddenly, the silence was broken by the same sound, a brief, strident, cracking sound, like the sound of someone snapping a chicken bone directly on the left side of the bed. Unmoving, I stared at the empty carpet beside where I lay before I heard it again, this time from the opposite side of the room. My eyes darted to the right side of my bed. It sounded low to the ground, as if whatever was making the sound was laying down or crawling, maybe. It was intensely guttural noise, which smacked off the walls each time. Thinking it was over, I slumped back down in bed. Try as I might,
You would go back to sleep after that? I hate
it. I'm supposed to go snap in the chicken bones.
Like, crawling around, snapping the chicken bones.
Having a midnight snack.
Oh my god. Try as I might, I couldn't quite rationalize it. My room was on the ground floor, so it wasn't as though it was coming from the room below mine. Perhaps there was a basement I wasn't aware of. That was it, I figured. Just some maintenance in the basement. The room remained quiet as I slowly fell asleep. My dry eyes snapped open.
I feel that.
Snapped open as if the loud crash had woken me. Yet I heard nothing of the sort. I pushed backwards and sat up in the bed as cold droplets of sweat trickled from my brow. There was an uneasiness about the room. I peered over to the window. It was still dark outside. I couldn't have slept for that long. Nothing but the pale moon and the flickering lamppost lit the squalid streets outside. My gaze was so absorbed by the view of the blackened window that it took me a few moments to notice the bathroom door. Halfway open, and from behind it, I could thinly make out a muffled sound of a woman sobbing.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, I'll add sound effects.
Oh, that's good. Unhurriedly, I climbed out of bed, the soft crimson carpet tickling my bare feet as I crept towards the door. As I approached, the sobbing slowly turned to anguish cries.
Ooh, what does that even sound like? Anguish? Harder crying?
Yeah, sounds good. I placed my trembling hand on the door, and I could feel the woman's wailing blowing around. Woman's wailing blowing against the wood. I pushed it open. Silence fell on the room, but the absence of the noise somehow made it worse. The heavy door creaked open to reveal what lurked behind it, the same white room. Polished tiles and walls of the color of the sea sprawled across the stretched room. I nearly missed it at first glance. I squinted and turned my gaze to the end of the hallway like bathroom, where the tub sat. The opaque shower curtain pulled halfway to the end, and behind the thin, white plastic, I could barely make out the vague silhouette of a woman laying silently in the tub. It's just like The Shining.
Yeah, I'm getting vibes.
Hello, I whimpered. I I think you had the wrong room. My voice sounded ill and stupid in my ears as I spoke.
Okay, that's realistic.
My words lingered. Oh my god, I got a cough.
Corona.
It is not corona. I've been talking too much. There's a lot of mucus in my throat. Where was I? My words lingered in the room for a moment. Suddenly, the sound of disturbed water and dripping filled the room as a woman climbed to her feet behind the curtain. I tried to squeeze out something else, but my jaw was almost paralyzed by the absolute terror. I felt as a wet, skinny hand pulled the curtain back. The woman's wicked details were now clear. She stepped out of the bath, her feet smacking the tile floor as she did. Her face was blue and sunken. Loose, damp strands of hair hung off her long neck. Her haunting figure lurked towards me. She was completely unclothed.
Ooh.
So it's just like that scene from The Shining with the naked woman in the bathroom.
See some milkers.
Okay. This was completely... Her tall body was slender, gaunt to the point of emaciation. Her dripping skin pulled tightly over her bones. Her eyes were pushed back deep into their sockets. Her complexion, the hollow cry of death. Clumps of black hair drooped over her naked shoulders like seaweed. What lips she had were purple and bloated. Water dripped from her gaping mouth. She had the expression of terror. Her jaw hung low as if she was screaming, but the only sound to leave her mouth were deep gargles over a thin, accursed moan. I turned and bolted for the door as she shambled nearer and nearer to me, my hand clutching the door handle, but try as I might, it wouldn't budge. I slammed and screamed against the wood as the wet slaps of feet against the tile behind me turned to the rustling of the carpet. Help! I cried, more times than I care to remember. And over my anguished wails, a cracking and snapping sound began to start up again, just as I felt cold breath on the back of my neck. The door finally swung open, and I tumbled out of the room, kicking the door shut behind me as I caught the last glimpse of the dead woman far too close to the door. But that wasn't all. As the door slammed shut, I saw something else. Behind the shambled ghoul, a smaller figure flailing in the corner. It didn't look dissimilar to a baby. So it looked like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Good. I clawed against the hallway walls, climbing to my feet before I sprinted down the twisting hall. I was so caught up in adrenaline that as I reached the end, I didn't notice the plastic cart of cleaning supplies being pushed around the corner into the lobby. I crashed into it, falling to the ground amidst a wave of sprays and cloth. What are you doing here, boy? Or what are you doing, boy? A familiar croaky voice shouted, Eddie. Eddie. I shot to my feet, panting, pointing down the empty hallway. The woman, I whimpered. Eddie looked at me, a puzzled expression on his face, before turning to the follow my finger down the hallway. There's nothing there, boy. I just been down there. No, I protested. In my room. There was a woman in my room. He continued to ogle at me, confused. Then I remembered our conversation in the toilet. Who the hell is she? I know you know, I shouted, still out of breath. His expression changed as I said it. You owe me that much after what I just saw. Eddie looked down at me as if disappointed in himself. Ye, I suppose you're right. He said, and he leaned against the wall and began. Oh, this is a big paragraph of text. Okay.
Lore drop.
It's rather a sad tale, really. See, years ago, before I even worked here, there lived a girl. Young and innocent she was. Used to live right down the road, in fact. Lucy, her name was. A girl her age often do, as girls her name often do, she took interest in a boy, a handsome young chap. Eventually, to her delight, Lucy and the boy started to hit it off, so they say. But the boy's intentions did not exactly align with hers, unfortunately. So as you can imagine, one thing led to another, and one day Lucy woke up pregnant. This didn't exactly sit well with her family. Her father, the mean, neglectful man he was, kicked her and her newborn out of the house after the birth. In her desperation, she turned once again to the young boy who had knocked her up, but he was not willing to help her either. She finally managed to scrounge up enough money to stay here for a few days, in your room, number 17. Once in the room, figuring herself not capable of caring for the boy, snapped the child's neck beside the bed before drowning herself in the bath.
Wow.
After a few days, residents started reporting an awful smell coming from 17. Some unfortunate staff member found the two bodies and called the police, who promptly moved them out. Now, residents report seeing a specter in the room with them. Some even run out of the middle of the night, like you.
Spooky, spooky.
Spooky, spooky. As if I even need to say it, I didn't return to room 17 that night. I thanked Eddie and called a coworker, asking if I could stay at his for the night. He let me. God bless him. Once at his house, he fixed me up with some outdoor clothing so I could go back for my things in the morning. It wasn't easy returning to that hotel, much less that room. I tried looking for Eddie to go in with me in the morning. Juvenile, I know, but I think my reasoning is logical. I couldn't find him, though, so in the warm light of the next day, I entered the accused room alone once again. Lucky for me, my repacking went without incident. I thought the spirit probably figured she had exhausted all my terror the previous night. I hauled my clumsy packed luggage to the front desk to check out, and just before Mary sat solemnly behind the desk, just as before, she was there. Okay. When I told her that I was checking out, she scoffed. "You booked a week," she said. "I'd still like to check out, please," I confirmed. An expression of brash realization crossed her face. "See him, did ya?" she smirked. I was confused. "Who?" I inquired. "Oh, I betcha, Eddie's a ghost."
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to...
killed the woman, and it wasn't really a suicide.
I think he's the man that got her pregnant.
Oh, maybe.
Don't dead.
But then how would he be dead?
I don't know, he just died. Let me just finish.
Never.
I inquired, "Oh, well, lots of guests who stay in room 17 say they see the ghost of the man swinging by a noose at the foot of the bed, the hangman we call him." "No," I croaked. "I was told that a girl haunts that room. Lucy, she drowned herself in the bathtub, apparently," I responded, puzzled. "Is that what you saw?" Mary asked. I nodded, frightened to hear what she might say next. She looked down. "Well, that is new," she said, surprised. "A girl called Lucy did die in that room, but no one reports seeing her. Everyone who stays in that room said they saw the man who killed her. Story goes that the girl killed her baby, as she knew deep down she couldn't care for him. Then later, the same day, the father came to the room to check on her and the child. After seeing the boy's dead body, he killed the girl in blind rage, drowned her in the bath before hanging himself out of guilt at the foot of Eddie's bed." Sorry, at the foot of the bed, Eddie's his name was. I couldn't tell you how fast my heart raced after those words left her mouth. Once at a safe distance away from that wretched place, I rang my mother. After a long negotiation, she agreed to lend me some money for an apartment in the city, and you can be damn sure I checked the place wasn't haunted before moving in. It wasn't. I could finally settle down, I thought, but true stories seldom have such conclusive endings. I think my story by itself is interesting enough to share without the need of a moral or a reason. I suppose if you really want to attach a message to the story, I imagine it would be, never go in room 17 at the Jackson Hotel. If that's all my story means, then I would probably just leave it as an anecdote, an icebreaker, a bad story to make me interesting at parties. But the reason I'm telling this story, the real reason, is because last night, just as I was at the verge of sleep, I heard something, a sound, not crackling sound though, nor the sobbing of a woman, but instead the slow, monotonous swinging of a rope at the foot of my bed. At the end.
Ooh. The real ghosts are the friends we make along the way.
That's a straight fact. You really made friends with Eddie. Let's be real with ourselves.
Yeah, he seemed decent. I mean, like, not to be like, he did nothing wrong, but, like, he kind of, I mean, like, he wasn't doing anything. Like, he killed one girl with, like, a reason, you know? It's not like he's going to go around killing other people.
He killed himself.
Yeah, but he killed the girl and himself.
Yeah.
that doesn't really constitute like a reason to keep haunting, you know?
Oh, you're saying there's no reason Eddie should be haunting the hotel?
Yeah, or like there's no reason.
Why is he cleaning?
I don't know.
That was never explained. Was he a janitor?
Yeah, he was just doing that for fun. Like
he was just going around like cleaning doors.
That's funny.
All right. How would you rate this one?
I like that one. That was like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I would give that like a 7. I mean, like for what we're reading. I mean, there's like God tier creepypastas or whatever they're called. No sleep.
No sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's all.
Pasta.
Next week, creepypasta with the twins. So that's it. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you too for being guests on my podcast. Do you want to tell our listeners where to find you?
My home address is. I'm Nepo too.
Spell it.
Spell it as you like. Nepotune.
And that's Laurel.
Yeah. I'm leafy.greens.art. Have to look it up because I don't know myself.
And that's Cameron. I will link them in the bio of, in the description of this episode. Thank you too so much for coming on this podcast. I really appreciate it. We'll have you back anytime. Thank our listeners. Thank you for listening. Don't kill anyone. Have a great week. See you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.